Are we all up on the news apart from Greeny?
I don't know, more or less.
Greeny,
I don't know what happened this morning.
Greeny, can you give us a bit more volume, mate?
Yeah.
Just a little.
You made him move his mic.
No, he's moved his... dude, that's called moving your camera. Not volume. I want volume.
Yes, I need to move the thingy to get to the thingy.
That's
the
better. Slider. There we go. That's fine then. Now you're perfect.
It's good, is it?
It's good now. Yeah, that's fine. Probably didn't do anything, but there we go. It's the Mac Show. Hello. Welcome to the week in Macintosh and Apple and everything that's... there's no news, but there'll be an opportunity to take the piss, I'm sure. Joining me to take the piss out of the lack of Apple news, a fantastic panel, an absolutely incredible panel made up of luminaries from the Macintosh and Apple world. Starting us off, do you notice how I didn't notice there was no butt in that? Doc?
Let's go. Well, we're talking about butts this week, please. Everything's great. Fantastic.
Brilliant, mate. Ready. Bright and early there. He's got the missus up with him as well.
You know how you got to do. And drink my lovely Star Wars Stormtrooper mug.
Excellent, mate. Can't wait for the new film. It should be good.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Did you see the
yeah, man.
Was it you that picked the cut together thing last night on the big show? Someone's taken all of this, was it Jeff put it in the chat room? Someone's taken
the
all
full
of the
trailer, yes.
All the trailers and put them together in the sequence that they should be in the movie.
Oh,
yeah.
I kind of want to see that, but then I don't.
I don't get the impression.
You want to see the super trailer. Okay. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is good. Right. It is good. If you look in last night's chat stuff, and you'll find it in there. If any of you want links, don't forget to go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, click on the relevant day when we recorded, and you'll see all of the links for all of the cool things, all the stories, all of that kind of stuff in the chat room. And the link for that video is in last night's Thursday, the 5th of November. So have a watch of that. Next to him, it's Adam, man from the closet. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Excellent, buddy. What's been happening this week?
There. What's been happening? Apple TV?
Apple TV for you. No closer to a studio?
No.
Not yet.
No, and it sounds like I'm cutting out because I'm messing with the internet.
Oh, okay. Just stop the download porn, Mike. That's fine. next to him, it's Will Green.
Hello.
How you doing, mate?
I'm very well.
I've got something to tell you, actually, mate. You ready?
Yep.
Will Green invents seances by himself. Will Green talks bollocks about the Mac Pro. Will Green references a free music site that doesn't even exist anymore. Will Green doesn't understand. F*** it, I paid for five bongs, I'm going to use them whether I've got anything to say or not. Is that a fair summary of the last British Mac?
Well, it's more popular than yours.
sorry, mate, I couldn't resist. That's the Shakespeare sister that was the next track after that on iTunes. Thank you, iTunes. Greeny, that was an homage to you, mate. That was a compliment. It wasn't a negative.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying a fact that British Mac is more popular than your crappy old podcast.
Which is pretty amazing, actually. Considering, did you see the tweet from Greeny's ass? And I've actually checked this, and he's right. You've been on more British Tech Network Mac shows than you've done of your own show, ever.
I'm sure that's probably true, but it's quality rather than quantity, isn't it?
Which is why you come on this old shit.
Yes, yeah. I try and help you along.
Why are you wearing a cravat, dude?
Because it is Cravat Friday.
Is it? Is that a national thing or an international thing or Man of Mystery thing?
I've no idea. I got a tweet from this guy who said today is Cravat Friday, so I'm wearing a cravat. I think I look quite the thing, John Le Misery almost.
So if he said today's poke yourself with a skewer Wednesday, would you just go along with that as well? You'd give it a try, wouldn't
probably
you?
Probably not. But I've always been rather
open to suggestion.
Cravats have always been a part of me, which and any excuse to wear one, I'll wear one. They're very old-fashioned. I appreciate that, and they're sort of out of fashion at the moment.
Not at all, mate. A man with a pipe, a cravat and a smoking jacket, they're always going to be in fashion.
Yes, I suppose so. Yes. Yes. So, you know, as I get older, I'm trying to rock the cravat. And a lot of hipsters wear cravats these days, don't they?
Clearly, if you're wearing them, mate, you're a trendsetter. You're more popular than me in iTunes, so...
Yep.
And last but by no means least,
Does that hurt? No, it doesn't hurt at all, mate,
because I'm just backing away from saying the obvious, which is, you know, that's because it's new subscribers.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is, and because iTunes automatically unsubscribes you from all podcasts after 6 weeks, so everybody's a new subscriber to your show.
No, that isn't the case. I've talked to iTunes about it. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
That's why all podcasters, to keep themselves up in the charts, rotate their feed address. Unlike us, we don't.
Whatever. If that makes you feel happy, that's...
No. You're an extremely popular man with an incredible talent, mate, for producing a show. And I've never said anything other than that.
No, that's fine.
That's not a dagger to my heart or anything. It's just an open statement.
Yeah, no. But the new subscribers, that's wrong.
Well... Okay, we've got a few reviews later on that they'll back up Greeny most definitely. Next to him, and finally, and we always take ages to get to an introduction with Patrice because it's Greeny after him. Patrice Brendamore, how the devil are you?
Oh, pretty good. It has been a crazy week, but I'm here, so let's talk about something.
Excellent, Apple. Mate. You've done a nice review for us now. You've done a review of Plex that Greeny hasn't read clearly on Apple TV.
I have. I mean, I was looking forward to Plex, and it's a really great app. So head over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and read it.
Excellent, mate.
Is that an order?
That is an order, absolutely.
It's a fine review of Apple TV, and we'll get Patrice to talk about that a little bit later on. So
yes, I will.
The week in Apple, what's been happening, what's gone on, what's happening? Well, Apple TV was the first one, I suppose, that we ought to start with. Everybody received their Apple TV last week, but we didn't do a show. I didn't get mine till this week. But
I didn't get...
Go on.
Mine till this week either.
All right, okay, fine. So we're all new to
same
Apple
thing.
TV.
I happen to hedge my bet and go buy one.
I think Adam is
just stop
delayed.
Downloading the porn. You're chopping up like crazy.
I may have to go reset the router, honestly.
Okay. Well,
I might have to quit and come back.
Okay, if you have to, that's fine. First impressions on Apple TV, then. Anyone want to start us off? Greeny, did you get one?
No. Okay. To be honest, I'm quite happy with the one I've got.
No, if you're talking about just playing content, there's nothing wrong with the one you've got. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wait, Greeny has a TV?
No, it's an old gramophone that
Brendamore's come out of his shell clearly.
you give the guy 300 words on the blog and all of a sudden he's badass.
Now, go on, what's the first impressions of the new TV? I think the interface is pretty nice. It's slick and smooth, and I've worked out that a full swipe with my thumb from the full left side to the right side of the pad is three items. If you swipe and stop, you can do three items at a time, mm-hmm. or you can do the skim then and go a lot further, which is pretty difficult to control at the moment. The only thing that I thought was a really glaring error is Siri. I mean, it works, unlike the watch and the phone doesn't here in the UK, but you press on it and you go, play me some music. I'm sorry, I don't do music. What?
What?
Siri on Apple TV, fourth generation, does not do music. You can't get it to play you some of your own music. Nothing. It only works with Netflix and with... and with movies. And I just
let me ask you this question. Are you a subscriber to Apple Music or to iTunes Match?
I'm a subscriber to Apple Music, and I've got my own content on there as well.
Oh, then that's probably a bug, because I, from what I gather, you would have the same problem that we have on the phone. You have to be a subscriber to Apple Music in order to get it to work. But it's kind of weird that it doesn't work, and I would assume that they're completely software updatable.
It specifically says Siri does not do music on Apple TV. Is anyone else going to tell me that I'm wrong on this? Because I can't. I can't believe that's just me, because it's got a message that's predefined that comes up on the screen, a written message that says, Siri does not work with music.
Well, didn't they show that as a demo?
I don't know. Chat room, tell me I'm wrong, for Christ's sake, because I'll go home and... I'm not saying it's crap because of that. It's not. It's actually very good as a unit. I'm quite impressed with it. But it's just kind of like, that looked like an obvious omission. Why would you not do that? And it looks like it's I'm not making this up. It's not just me. But then I do buy raw chicken in restaurants, so it may well be.
Mm.
Where's Adam?
Bedroom is saying that Adam's talked about this on his podcast, so it's probably true.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So none of you have tried to start music then with your remote on Siri on Apple TV?
I didn't jump on the bandwagon yet because I had just was right in the middle of doing some Amazon Fire 4K stuff. And then, you know, I really thought about it, but, you know, this was a bad week to go and buy that since I was moving office and having to buy new things for the office and whatnot. So it just went out the window for this particular week. And then from hearing what everybody's saying, now I'm like, okay, I really want one just because I have to. It's kind of my gig, but I can actually sit on it until after Christmas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. I understand that. But I mean,
And then the cool part about that is I catch all the open boxes for the people they give up to.
I think it's a lovely interface. It's far better than the old front row thing was. It's glossy. It's nice. It's responsive as well. It's not laggy. It's very iOS 7 was when it first came out. That clean kind of Helvetica Neue thin text and font. But it's... It does the job that it says on the tin. It's great for selecting new movies. The Siri is fantastic at finding movies for you in your own collection or in the store. But Siri doesn't do music, which I thought was a little bit strange. The setup was awesome. So you just plug it in and you hold your phone.
You have an incoming call from Adam Christensen.
Well, the setup, yes. I mean, you could do the same thing, I think, since iOS 7 with the old Apple TV. My biggest issue with the setup is all those passwords you have to enter, because you can't connect the remote app from your phone. You can't connect, as far as I know, a Bluetooth keyboard. At least for me, it didn't work. It didn't show up in the Bluetooth menu. So you have to enter all your complicated passwords using the one line keyboard, basically the standard Apple TV keyboard now. And that's just crazy. It took I would say about 2 hours to enter all the passwords for all the services in total.
That's insane crazy.
I didn't get that, I gotta say. I mean, I touched my phone on top of it and it went to the wireless connection for the Wi-Fi and set up instantly. I had to verify my password after I'd got in there, but it knew it was me, so it had obviously got my account details and had set those up. It was only when I wanted to purchase them that I had to review it and then store my purchase codes. And I had to type in the thing for Netflix, but that's it.
Depends on how many services you have and how many accounts you have and all of that. Because as I said, I mean, I had to enter it for at least two times for iTunes or for the store. Netflix,
Game Center. You haven't logged into Game Center yet, then either.
Yeah, so
that's a separate login.
Yeah, too many passwords I have to enter, and I hope I don't have to enter them again. So hopefully it's done now. It works.
But, you see that there will lend to what everyone was saying about the Bluetooth keyboard. And at first I'm like, yeah, you kind of not maybe use it or not going to use it, but. As I was setting up the 4K Fire, one of the first things I did was I plugged it in and it says, okay, log into your Amazon account. And I went, no, this is going to suck. I just went, before I did anything else, I went and grabbed the old white gigantic 101 USB Mac keyboard and I plugged it right in the back. And so I sat there on the floor, which is kind of hard for me to do. And I typed in all of the passwords as needed because my Amazon password is super ridiculous because I thought it would slow me down from buying crap. Doesn't work. One password. Thank you. But, you know, you literally, as soon as you plug in a USB keyboard, or you can automatically, before you get that far, connect the Bluetooth keyboard. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't find where my K70 was. And then I just started typing passwords. So I thought, if you, and when I saw everyone talking about not being able to do Bluetooth, I'm like, that would be insane, especially if the, you can't get to the part where the remote app works before you start doing all of this stuff, because the remote app has always been the saving grace on the older version. Y'all, yeah. First thing you do is log into iTunes Store once, and then you connect the remote app, and then all you do all the other stuff from the phone.
Yep, but the does remote that, app does, doesn't does work, work and isn't intended to be working.
Econ Man in the chat room is confirming Siri on Apple TV does not work with music, so I'm right. There we go.
Mm-hmm. And
Adam,
no,
Adam,
it does
Adam
not.
Was gone.
Adam, you were gone when we talked about that issue. I said that seems insane.
Stupid. I mean, there's lots of weird things on it that... it's unfinished. I think they pushed it out the door because they felt they had to push it out the door. And there's a lot of rough edges. Overall, I love it, and it's a way better experience than the prior generation Apple TV. But there are a lot of little, minor irritating things that obviously weren't thought through. I've had a couple crashes where I've had to reboot things or just applications freeze up. I think they needed another 3 months on this thing, and I think they just rushed it out the door.
Yeah, I think I got the feeling, I don't know whether that's true, that the box itself, the hardware was ready probably earlier this year, but the software wasn't. And I think, I mean, all the minor issues, all the 1.0 issues we're seeing seems to be an indication of that. Because, I mean, they seem to have had enough Apple TVs to ship them. I mean, to even have two rounds of developer kits and stuff like that. So, and the developer kits didn't come with any software pre-installed. So seems to be an indication of that.
But you guys know what's really funny about this? When you think of it, I think that this investor pressure and the stupid analyst who keep making all these comments about Apple making money or not making money or whatever, is starting to cause something that none of us old school guys are used to. And that's Apple putting out the goods when they're half baked. Because I don't know if you guys remember the first 3 weeks of the watch. I was like, yeah. This bad boy is sexy, but she got no substance, right? It was kind of prom queenish. And then, you know, week three rolls around, and then it was gorgeous for like a couple of months. And then when Watch 2 comes out in September, now it's just, you know, maybe more awesome a device than we've ever talked about. The funny thing is, after WatchOS 2 comes out, though, none of the media guys, except for, you know, the hardcore real fanboy sites like, you know, Renee and his squad, and, you know, a couple other spots went in detail and started to talk about the nuances of WatchOS 2 and what you get out of it and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the general media, they barely even touched on WatchOS 2. So a lot of people who listen to these things, you know, anecdotally, I don't know if that's the proper word, they still think we're stuck on Apple Watch May or maybe Apple Watch June.
Yeah.
And it's not the case. And then so maybe it's disingenuous for them to chase whatever the hell the stupid analysts are saying or the stupid rumor sites are saying, because when it does come out and it's half-baked, there'll be a lot of people walking around still thinking that the thing is half-baked. And I don't know if that's good in the long run for the overall business. I'd rather see them wait and be like, yeah, we're not going to get it ready till December. You're going to have to haul ass in the last 3 weeks to get the one you want, but at least it's set and ready to go.
Yeah. And I wouldn't complain if it was just if it was just minor bugs here and there, stuff not working right. I would say, okay, you always have that with the 1.0 version. I mean, we've had that for years with macOS, but or with OS 10 now. But I see conceptual issues and really features that should have been there that aren't thought through, and that is concerning.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to say that I absolutely hate the thing, because I don't. No, I like it. I like where it's going, and I like what it's going to be able to do for me, even though I've chipped away at 2%. Excuse me, that capability. But there's just things in there that I'm kind of like, oh, come on, you know, not working with music. The setup thing I find very easy. But Craig Morton in the chat room saying that he couldn't get his Apple TV to activate via Wi-Fi on his BT router, something apparently related to port 123. So he had to use his mobile hotspot to activate it, and then he had to go in manually and switch to the Wi-Fi, and then it worked. A question from Big Russ, which is a good one. Siri works with movies, but does Siri work with your home shared movies?
No.
Yeah, I can't see that it would unless the metadata is really crunchingly good.
No, it doesn't.
So it's there's a certain element of what have you put Siri in it then?
Yeah. and if I remember correctly and if I've heard it right, for example, the Photos app doesn't work with iCloud Photo Library.
So, I haven't even tried that yet.
Okay. Well, if that's true, then
then all Siri's on vacation.
All you've bought. No, if that's true, then effectively what you've bought is a storefront.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, exactly. Even look at how the store was rolled out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the new Apple TV has got charts for top paid apps, and it's also got some categories now for apps, which is good.
Yeah, but those weren't there on day one, right? So it seems like they're still finishing it up. That's what I'm saying. It feels like all of these things, I don't think they are things that went, like Apple didn't think about these things. I think they're all on a list somewhere. It's just they had to make some hard choices about, okay, we're pushing this thing out the door because we said we were, and engineers, what's not ready, you got to leave that stuff out, and we'll just roll it out as updates, which is very un-Apple-like, and, you know, it's frustrating.
Yeah, who knows how many people were working on the Apple TV? Maybe it was just two or three guys.
It's a hobby, isn't it? So there you go.
Yeah, who knows?
I think that there's a point here in the chat room. Muller's he's sat next to me anyway, but he could have said it. But he's saying, I think I'll pass then. This one sounds a bit crap. And it's not. It's very
good.
Yeah, the interface is nice. The setup was very easy for me. Searching for movies with Siri is awesome. Yeah. Including your purchase content and what's available in the store. Searching with Siri for Netflix is awesome. You just say play House of Cards, bang, there's House of Cards. Play Orange is the New Black, bang, it's there. And the recognition is brilliant. It's not missing a beat on that. And you've got all of the stuff that was there, plus you've got this storage capability, which is going to do hell knows what. So I think it's a proper good upgrade, and I think it's something that will be awesome, but there's just bits that are like, come on, why didn't you do that? That's so bad that you've missed that out. But it's not crap. It's not crap at all.
I said, I believe it's, you know, quantum leaps better than the prior generation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now you can see what I mean by how there'd be a lot of people who don't know how to read through all of the tech wash and don't know how easily software updatable these things are, that they're going to get the impressions from the first press wash that says, you know, maybe it's a C student, and it ain't really a C student. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Econ Man has verified specifically that home sharing does not work with Siri for definite. And he's also said it's true. Also, Photos only works with My Photo Stream and shared photo streams. And Craig said, I've got to agree with Adam. I've waited ages for the upgrade, and now I've got it. I'm a little bit underwhelmed. Hopefully, it'll be more polished moving forward.
Again, I'm not underwhelmed. I'm actually blown away. I mean, it's really, really good, and I don't know why, you know, it's just these little rough edges. They're minor things. They're going to get fixed, but it's just very un-Apple-like for them to ship something out the door that doesn't have all these things in it. That's the only concern. It's like, why didn't they just say, you know what, it's not ready, we're sorry, we need a couple more months, we're gonna wait to release this thing. Someone did make the hard call, and I think it's because they had the holidays coming up, and like Doc said, there's a lot of external pressure from the pundits and the media and the analysts, and you know,
there's something in business that is called the cost of delay, and maybe the cost of delaying it for 3-4 months and then basically missing the holiday quarter and having to really wait for the next holiday quarter next year would have been more expensive than shipping it with minor rough edges they shipped it with.
Yeah, and I use rough edges. That's the phrase, I think, definitely.
Well, it's the irritating, and Apple's been doing this more and more, and I guess that's where my bigger concern comes into play. They did it with, you know, Yosemite. A lot of the stuff seems to be fixed in El Capitan, but there's still some of those. It's the little, you know, it's death by a thousand cuts. You know, it's these little nitpicky things that, you know, any one of them by themselves is really nothing. But when you start encountering two or three or four of them, like you were saying, Ewan, it's the, you know, why didn't you just do that? Why did that get that get left out? And it's not a deal breaker in terms of using the device or, you know, anything, but it's just every time you get one of those, they sort of pile on, and then in an aggregate, you kind of have a frustrating user experience.
Hmm. Definitely. Are you going to get one, Greeny?
No, I don't think so. Seems that's relatively pointless, really. They might have had a different controller and a different bit of hardware.
I think if you're happy with your current Gen 3 and you have no more functionality that you want, then I think you're making the right decision. But if there is something that comes and says in the store, oh, actually, that would really work well with my workflow or my job or my home, then it's definitely worth the money. I'm happy to see where it's going and be on board.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say if the apps that are shipping with the current, with the third generation Apple TV are enough for you, and you're maybe just using Netflix and iTunes, then third generation will absolutely work for you.
Yeah, yeah. What I am gonna buy is is it called Amazon Firebox or something like that?
Yeah, I got one.
Well, Doug's got that.
Yeah, that's what I would tell everybody right now. If you just want to get an updated something, and you also want to have a little bit more flexibility, then right now, currently, the Fire TV 4K has a slight leg up. It's not going to last unless, my big thing was 4K. I had a brand new 4K TV. It was kind of useless not to have 4K. I won't say I was disappointed that Apple didn't put it in the box, because I'm not, because I know Apple. They're not going to put it in until it's like baked in good. That's a little bit different. They won't mess with that until they're absolutely sure they can deliver the right content, the right experience, and blah, blah, blah. So on the Amazon Fire TV 4K, the 4K is immaculate, but it's buggy as all hell. So, like, sometimes the stream works, sometimes the stream doesn't, and that's even on their own content. The Netflix one doesn't work properly, so they got some working out to do on that. But the thing that's great about the Fire TV 4K, number one, it's fast as all sin, like ridiculously fast. Number two, you can plug in an SD card to kind of use it as a cache for the things that you're downloading. Mm-hmm. So when it starts to play the movie, it'll dump part of it to the SD card. And so you're playing back the SD card and not the stream. But it happens really, really quickly. So it's playing and buffering at the same time. So you never see that stupid, irritating, rotating spiral going, I'm sorry, I'm buffering. Like, that part's out the window.
I don't get that anyway, though.
Huh?
I don't get that anyway.
Yeah, I don't get that often either, because my connection is ridiculous. But I can see where other people, you know, who don't have as fast a connection as we do, that would kind of cause a problem. So they kind of figured that out. And the other thing that's really cool about the SD card is using some of the, you know, you get to adding the APKs, Android-style games or the Amazon games, like they would take up a lot of space on your device. Rather than charge you for either 32 or 64, mine has 128 because it has an SD card plugged in the back, you know. And then so if you're downloading games or, you know, putting things on it, it totally works. It also helps for Plex, because Plex will automatically download certain, you know, UK shows that are playing right now that I don't have to wait until BBC America gets a hold of it, because it takes too long. And then so I can see things live as it's happening, like the Great Baking Show, Bake Cook-Off.
Superb.
You know, things like that.
So I've got Amazon Prime, which costs about £80 a year. And it seems silly to me to buy the new Apple TV when I can take advantage of all the films and stuff that Amazon Prime gives me.
There's a load of free stuff there,
For me, the Amazon Prime thing now is better than Netflix, much better.
Yeah, yes and no. Yes and no. I have to keep both for right now, because they have a different layer when it comes to original created content. They are creating original content much faster than Netflix, but right now Netflix originals will kind of take the Amazon originals in the backyard and beat the shit out of it, because they're just that much better. There are some great ones on Amazon. House of God, untouchable, off the hook. I loved Red Oaks. Red Oaks was funny, very campy, but funny. Betas, you know, again, it's been a year and a half. Where's the second Betas? Like, their Amazon content stuff is good, but they seems like they're afraid to press any really, really difficult buttons. But they have won a lot of awards. Transparent has won tons of awards. So they're getting there. I don't think Amazon is ready for it either, or Amazon or Netflix. I think it's still a room for both, but you know, the people who have the biggest chance of hitting that original content out the park is Apple.
I think the thing that gets your Amazon stuff though is the fact that if you're a good user of Amazon, you have Prime by default, and if you've got Prime, then you're going to get the box and you're going to get the content for free within that. So it's not an either or then because of that anyway. But I think if you've got Amazon Prime, you're going to be sitting thinking, do I really need to spend the money on Netflix? And I could understand the argument of no, I don't. If that £6 bothers you enough, I can see why you wouldn't do it. Definitely.
Well, you know, one thing, Ewan, that I would say.
Go on, Grinny. Hang on, Doc. Let Grinny come back.
I was only going to say. I'm a subscriber to Netflix, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't understand. Well, I don't understand, at least, which is no surprise. Content providers. Let me give you an example. IT Crowd. So IT Crowd was pulled from Netflix.
Holy crap, who is that? Sorry, guys. Oh, that was Adam then. Because he's gone now and it's stopped.
That's good.
Adam took off on a spaceship.
It was an art piece.
He's on his way to the car or something.
Adam's ass.
Adam? Adam, are you alright?
His connection went to shit again.
Okay, Grinny, sorry mate, carry on from where you were.
All I was going to say, so there's a content provider situation going on. I don't quite understand. The IT Crowd, to give you one example, and there's lots of others, from Channel 4 was pulled from Netflix, and Channel 4 said it would be better for us to do it via the Channel 4 site. Was it 4OD, I think, it's what it's called.
Mm.
But that's still available on Amazon or Amazon Prime. So there's something going on that I can't quite figure out. So I don't know. That's all I wanted to say, really.
Yeah, yeah.
As a massive IT Crowd fan, there's wheels within wheels that we're not being told about.
You know, I'm not going to say this very often, but Grinny, you're absolutely right. there's definitely some things going. Like, for instance, I can say HBO hands down hates Netflix for some reason. Like, they will not be nice to Netflix for any reason whatsoever. But they give stuff to Amazon that they don't give to Netflix, which doesn't make any sense because HBO is pretty greedy about their content everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think there's some people that like have had pissing contests with Reed Hastings and his crew when they first started, and they didn't know how big it was going to be. And maybe part of it is a pride of not wanting to go back and go, okay, yeah, you guys are right. Here's the content. So they take the second biggest option, which is give it to Amazon.
You know,
I definitely tell that there's Will, you're right about that. But what I was going to say before, just real quickly, I will say hands down, the Amazon Fire TV hardware is being subsidized by your Prime membership. That is not a $90 box. That is definitely a $150, $200 box a la Amazon. I mean, a la Apple TV, because the hardware is way too good for that price.
The other thing that I was going to say about the Apple TV, which I've got to say earlier, was that it didn't come with a game bundled with it, which I thought was quite interesting. And also, there's no way of putting a wrist strap on the remote. And if you're starting to use that wrist strap like a tennis racket, as in Beat Sports, I can see quite a few TVs getting. My kids are not having anything until I can restrain that with a piece of gaffer tape. That seems a bit short-sighted that you can't put a strap on it as well. Apple releases upcoming upgrade to El Capitan, and someone has had a poke through, and wouldn't you know it, because I've just spent $5,000 on a new Mac Pro, there's instances there suggesting that there's a brand new Mac Pro coming.
Yeah. Didn't we talk about that last show?
I don't care. No, because the last show was 2 weeks ago. Data's identical.
We talked about the new iMac, and that now that Doc had bought one the new one came out, and I think you said that now that you've bought a Mac Pro, a new one will come out.
Okay, so that's true. But it says the date is identical to that of the late 2015 iMac 17. One in the same file, so it may as well be a remnant of the new iMac. But the strange thing is that the IHCI data for the late 2015 iMac is also there, which is why I believe that this was not added for the new Mac iMac, but for another Mac. And like I said earlier, the comments were too many USB 3 ports defined to fit in a MacBook Pro and a Mac Mini. This is in fact that there is already support for newer graphics chips baked into El Capitan is why I think that it was added for a new Mac Pro. So I read that paragraph in that story and thought to myself, because a lot of these things, they say, oh, we found code, and they've definitely found the code, and it definitely comes. But that to me says, nah, this might not happen. And I can't see them changing the form factor. They're never going to change the form factor after one iteration, surely. It's just going to be a new processor upgrade. Come on, guys.
No, they're not. They have changed the form. Have you not seen the room sites?
No, I haven't seen any pictures of changed form factor.
It looks totally different.
Oh, what? Well, mine's a sexier one, Green. Yeah,
it's a cube now.
We're going back to that.
It's circular, and it sort of is, rather than vertical, it's sort of horizontal.
It's a horizontal cylinder.
It's a lot better looking. Sorry.
I don't think so.
It's not. That's just the same unit. It's not going to lie on its side. Like that. That's a Mac Pro with the cover off, the one that you're thinking of.
What?
Yeah.
That's just my existing Mac Pro with the cover off.
Because I researched just a little bit.
Go on.
They're replacing your ugly bogly one with... They're replacing your ugly bogly one with something that looks nice.
No, they're not.
It's white, and it sort of lies on its... Yeah! I'll put you a tenner on it.
I'm on Macworld's site at the moment, and it's showing pictures of the existing Mac thing, and it's suggesting there is no changing form factor. So
I'm looking at the Apple TV remote loop on Apple.com because you just plug it into the Lightning port.
Yeah. So what do you think? You guys think there's a chance? We've lost half the panel already now. I don't know, unless I've upset Greeny. So what's the? Yeah, put the link in the chat room, Greeny.
Call from Will Green.
It's on there. Boo put it on there. B-O.
So Greeny, put a link in the chat room, mate. Boo put it on, apparently.
No, he put the link to the remote loop on.
Okay, so that's a remote loop. A lightning port's never going to protect that. It's never going to come out. It's never going to stay in, rather. With enough force, that's coming straight out. Anyway, yes. Greeny, have you got a link to this supposed new Mac Pro? Stick it in the chat room.
Not to hand.
Oh, how convenient.
Send the link from your playbook.
Send the link from your playbook. That's twice now that you've bitch slapped him.
No, that's what he does in the chat room.
All right, okay. Coming out of his shell, definitely.
No, seriously, so for the last British Mac, which was out last Sunday, I did some research into it, and I did find on the rumour site some pictures of the new one, which is white and it's on its side. And it looks nice.
Okay, I'm not seeing that, I have to say. I haven't seen anything like that. So without a link. Chat room, your mission is to find us a link of the supposed new Mac Pro that Greeny is talking about. And I can't see him changing the form factor after once, especially when you've just re-engineered it into a split motherboard in a cylinder that's the coolest thing since sliced bread and looks and feels like it's unbelievably gorgeous, like it's a little jet engine. You're
tooling,
talking bollocks,
no matter
Greeny.
How rich you are, tooling costs a... buttload.
Yeah.
Like, you do not want to retool if you don't have to tool.
They're not going to retool after one iteration. I just don't see it, Greeny.
Saint. My favorite Catholic saint is Saint Happening.
The cube, and then it was killed very shortly after.
So they've still got all the tooling from the
cube. From Adam Christensen.
Is that what you're saying, Greeny? No. They've still got all the tooling from the cube, and they're going to use that?
No. But my point is, they've killed investments off before, and I think probably killed this one off, because I was looking at the sell very poor for the Mac Pro, and so I think I've had to rethink it.
That's
all I'm saying.
All right, that's fair enough, mate. You're entitled to your opinion and your beliefs in what may or may not happen, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I'd be a bit disappointed if they did get rid of the form factor, because it is one of the sexiest computers out there. No doubt. It feels good in your hand. It looks good on the desk. It performs.
It's
not much.
It looks like a big... It's a big...
Greeny, your audio's breaking up, mate. I can't hear you. I know it was derogatory, whatever you just said, but...
I gave him my disease.
You've caught shit Ethernet off Adam. You're breaking up, mate. You need to wire in again. Eddie Q sits down at Dropbox's conference and spouts off that the iPad Pro is something that they are pushing towards the enterprise market. I've sat this week and I've gone to Twitter and said, right, help me out, people here. I need a reason to buy the iPad Pro. Someone give me a decent reason that will justify me getting an iPad Pro. And I can't find one. No one else can give me one. And normally when it comes to buying hardware, I've got a decent enough reason that I can get the purchase past Sharon and say, but I needed it. And on this one, I can't. I haven't got a decent reason at all. Yeah. And he thinks that enterprise is going to love it. And it's just, I can't see it. Will.
But I mean, I said to you, I mean, you buying one for me apparently isn't a good enough reason. Yeah, let me try it myself.
So Sharon, I know I don't want one for myself, but I'm going to buy one from a random German you don't know. That's going to go down really well.
That will go fine. but coming back to the enterprise thing, I can totally see that, because I mean, if I look at my company right now, I see quite a few tablets in there, and shitty ones too. So they are already in there. Even iPads are used somewhere, and the bigger, better iPad with a pencil input, that will work. And it will especially work in certain fields, like, in the cockpit or maybe the hospital, so the medical world, stuff like that.
I was going to say medicine. That's got medicine written all over it, hasn't it? And the Apple have made no secret of the fact that they're dumping into medical pretty heavily. So
education, another one.
Architecture.
Even the dude drawing characters on the boardwalk, as long as he has a good pen, I mean, a good printer, Lynn Peralta could sit outside and make a mint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, look at you, like you and your lady, he draws a picture of you and then press print and then get some, you know, street vendor money.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally going to work.
For you, it's going to be software. I mean, it's going to be the first time, you know, Adobe puts a version of Premiere on there or something like that, when you can actually, you know, do some field editing of video.
Yeah. Actually, Adam, you're on to something, because Premiere on the iPad right now is amazing.
I work in places that are pretty shitty a lot of the time. They're usually construction sites or production processes where they're ejecting powders and fluids and that kind of thing. So I ain't going to start looking to do editing out on the street. You know, if I turn up at a place, I'm there for the day to shoot and that's the end of it. So I don't think that's going to be a benefit. The Photoshop stuff could be cool, and the link through from the stuff that we talked about with Don a couple of weeks ago, where I can control Photoshop from the pad, and I can, that looks pretty cool for me. I might seriously think about a pad that sits on my desk here in front of me with the stylus, and then I can use it like a Wacom-y type thing. I think it's a little bit of a shame, though, that it's just going to be iOS. That's the one thing that kind of holds me back a little bit from going wow and buying it is, you know, if it was iOS 9 plus and it was a different variation or a variant of and it did more, then I might go for it. But I look at the functionality that iOS 9 gives my Air 2 and my iPhone, and I can't see how it's going to make that much difference.
Well, I'm going to go back to what I always say. It's kind of like the watch. Can't really know how good it is until you got it on.
Yeah, but you're a rampant, mindless fanboy, Doc. I mean,
obviously not proven, because where's my Apple TV?
That's just because you're moving house. You'll have, you weren't moving house, you'd have changed that.
No, honestly, right now, Fire TV has my vote. I'm sorry, and I'll do it unapologetically, because it's better. So that's not the case. Like, I'm not going to just buy it because you need to buy it. Like, I never bought a Mac Pro either because there's no need for it right now in this current situation. But I really do believe that part of what you want, you can get, but that's going to come from what third-party developers create. It doesn't necessarily have to be the OS to give you what you're asking for. And
exactly.
Going back to what Adam says from a professional standpoint, like, there are some really, really good high-end video control apps that are out there right now for a whole bunch of current cameras. I don't know if you follow the feed, but I just did a brand new Sony camera update on Wednesday. We did we have this organization here called Hawaii Shoots, where as we take all the professional photographers and videographers and we get together and we meet, we talk about stuff and, you know, work on our businesses together and whatnot. So this week we had Sony Japan come in and introduce all of the new cameras that are coming out from the Sony, the professional video space. And for instance, all of their new cameras right now support Wi-Fi streaming a la Teradek, but it's actually built into the camera. So the new FS7, the new F5, I want to call it FS53, like some amazing new camera work. And so what you're able to do now, if you have an iPad, which the iPad Pro, they kind of specifically wrote it in for the iPad Pro, you can do a whole bunch of camera controls, making minor adjustments to the ISO, to all kinds of things directly from the iPad without having to go all over and touch the second camera. So if you're doing stationary camera plus two mobiles, this guy can literally sit down at his iPad and make all these adjustments to his camera without having to go all the way to the back of the room and adjust it. These things are coming, but they're being built by developers themselves. Apple doesn't necessarily have to do that.
Yeah. Okay. I think, and we talked about this in the chat earlier, I don't see any reason why the OS should really matter that much, because at least for certain apps, I mean, there will be apps where it matters, and there will be apps where the missing power matters. I mean, for video editing, we don't know yet how good it really is, but I'm guessing for 4K editing with effects and all of that, you will need more power than the iPad Pro can offer you. But I can absolutely see apps like Photoshop, like Illustrator, all of that working on an iPad Pro, because at the end of the day, it's a third-party app that it doesn't matter what the underlying system is. You are in that app, you're doing work in that single app, and that's it. And that's where the iPad Pro could be really good at.
Deepan says, I've got to thinking that the iPad Pro was going to be the product that would cross over from iOS to OS 10, and that's what I thought as well, so it wasn't. Adam's saying in the chat, and we didn't talk about the best feature of all, which is games, which we kind of did. We did say that the app needed some kind of restraint, the remote. The other thing that bothers me about the remote is the fact that I don't know how much, because they got accelerometers and all that kind of crap, and I don't know how much they're going to cost to replace. So we had about five of the old £15 ones kicking around, and even then we'd be in this. I'd be like, "Where's the fudging remote? Ellis, find the remote for the Apple TV, please."
Oh, that thing was terrible.
And it was down the side of the sofa, and they disappear everywhere. They get kicked underneath, and now we've only got this one thing. And it's like, if you lose this, your life is over, Ellis. Okay, so
you can use the old ones now, but you only get long-line input instead of box input.
Yeah, no, so it's...
But coming back to the iPad Pro, Muller is saying in the chat room that the Surface will kill the iPad Pro because it runs desktop apps. I have to strongly disagree, because just running the same desktop apps on a tablet is not what you really want.
The whole time that you're responding to that, Muller sat next to me stirring a pot wildly, because he's only put it in to wind you up and piss you off.
But it's not a wind-up, it's a valid comment, because that is something that is stated a lot by other people, and especially some of the magazines. As a matter of fact, I just heard Leo spout it off out of the corner of his neck earlier this week. And the thing is, Patricia's right. Running a desktop app for desktop app running sake does not mean it's a better experience than running a specialty app designed to cover the task that does the task that you want. And a lot of times that can be done. So, for instance, colleges around the world are still teaching people how to use Word. Word is completely 100,859.28% carry to one useless at this point. A standard issue text editor will get you much farther than Word in almost any day or form, because nobody's really running macros and their stuff anymore. Most people never knew how to run it in the first place. So to run this quote-unquote standard issue Office suite of apps that you don't really need doesn't make any sense. And I thought for sure that, for instance, like now, even on my iPad, now I'd rather do my keynote presentations on the iPad instead of doing them on the desktop because it's just faster.
Yes.
And it works better. Like I barely have to open Keynote on the Mac anymore because it just feels better doing it on the iPad. It's designed, that particular program is designed for grabbing stuff and pushing it around with your hands and whatever. It's just extremely tactile. So yeah, we don't necessarily have to have desktop app. And
I'm working in software development. That is a mistake a lot of people make. They think I can just take the desktop app, throw it on a tablet, and that's it. But the use cases, how people are using the devices are different.
Yeah, but hang on.
And you have to take that into account.
Since they aligned with the 64-bit stuff, there is an immense opportunity for crossover there between the two, which hasn't really been exploited and should be. That's £65 for the new remote, apparently, if you need to replace it.
Crazy.
So as Patrice says in the chat room, and everyone else has jumped in with Econ Man and Deepan saying the same thing, ouch.
I think I heard this from Adam, and Adam, if I'm wrong, excuse me for placing words in your mouth, because it may not have been you, it may have been Chuck. There was a comment once made that the operating systems right now are designed to work best with the tool in hand, and I myself have been a long convergence hopeful. I've been a convergence hopeful since Snow Leopard, assuming that there would only be one more iteration until iOS and OS 10 blended. But the more and more I use the individual devices, the more and more I see why. This lends itself perfectly to mouse, keyboard, trackpad control, and this leads itself perfectly to tactile control. Right now, if there was a UI problem on iPads, I'd have to say it's keyboard, and that's slightly solved by the Pro. So I don't think we're necessarily ready for convergence yet, because it's going to require a brand new rethink of all devices. And until we get touchable Macs, there's no need for conversion. And that's where I can see where Mueller pot stirring can go with the Surface is really epic with all of its touchable. But if you ever really sat down and watched somebody work one of the touchable PCs that aren't a Surface, like the HP and Dell, they get pissed off really, really quickly.
I'll tell you what, dude, you hooked a big one there, didn't you? Christ, 20 minutes worth.
At the moment,
yes,
take
mate.
A step back.
Go on then.
So, I'm not a photographer, but I enjoy taking photos.
Okay.
When we were talking about iOS, for me, digital photography, in some ways, is sort of killing creativity. It's killing the artist inside of us, because we sort of snap away again, again, and again, without thinking about what we're taking. When you've got film, each photo that you take, in a sense, costs you money. And we were talking about iOS and improvements to the photo app and all that sort of stuff. And there is a slight concern for me, at least, that progresses in technology are sort of devaluing our artistic creativity.
I think there's a certain good point in that, Greeny. But the one thing I will say is so when Jack started with me in the summer, I took him out and I said, because it's digital, you're sitting thinking, well, if I shoot a lot of shots, you will get half a dozen that are really good and then that'll be fine. And I said, that's not what I want. I want a hit percentage, which is at 70% for wow shots. So when you go out, look at something, look at what we're covering and see whether what you're looking at fulfills that brief. When you look at the item, say, is it showing what I want it to show? And when you put the camera up to it, say to yourself, is what I'm looking at showing what I want? And if it is, and you've satisfied all three of those criteria, take all the pictures that you want. But I can't have you go out on site, shoot for 6 hours, come back with 600 photos, and I go through them, and you've cut people's feet off, you've cut the top of the crane off, you're missing the load, you're missing the point of why we're here. We're not recording something because it's like, oh, wow, that's fantastic, and it's big, and it's really great. No, we've only been asked to come and point at this thing here. This one thing is the thing that's the story. Focus on that. And that's where I think it varies in the professional world, because I have to do that, otherwise I don't get paid. But I think you're dead right though, Greeny. That is a malaise that's out in the amateur, most certainly.
But you know, Greeny, I would say again, this is twice in one day. This is really strange. Greeny's right, but I think
three times.
I'll go with three.
Okay, three. He's counting. I think it's right depending on what position you start from, because for us, yes, starting from that position, yes, Will, you're 100% right. But think about the person who never in a million years would have been able to afford a camera of the quality of even the most basic SLR like a K1000 that does have something as simple as the baseline phone at $200, and they're doing really, really creative work. So there are people out there who never experienced all of the pain and agony of buying lots of tools and you know, dealing with clients and that, but they're doing amazing work because they started with a device that is very accessible. So I think accessibility for bringing new people into the fray, digital photography has changed the game. But you're 100% right. Letting people shoot mindlessly, that can guarantee ruining the game, because I have sorted through other person's work and have never hired that assistant again. Because it took longer to sort through their crap than to...
But as a graphic designer and a web designer, it's when I put something together, imagine it's just a sort of a wireframe or something like that. I work really hard to sort of imagine it's a picture that you've painted, which it, you know, it is really, and you move the text about and change the fonts and you work with the images and stuff like that. And you step back and you look at that image that you've created and you think, oh, that bit isn't quite right, or that color isn't quite right. And so I'm not a photographer, although I have got a bid on a Leica M3 at the moment. And
oh, don't buy a Leica, dude.
Well, I'm getting anyway, because for me, a rangefinder is the proper way. I don't like all this.
Buy a Lumix and buy a car instead.
No. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. So, but the point really is, if I win my Leica, I'll be able to almost sort of frame the picture, the thing I want to capture, that artistic piece, and then sort of take that single photo.
But you can do the same thing with a digital camera, with a DSLR, or just with your iPhone.
Until last year, none of Leica's advertising shots were shot on a Leica.
But they would have been on the M3.
Yeah.
We've had some reviews. Now, I've got to move on, guys. And Muller, stop stirring the shit, because I've only got an hour. You do what?
Am I banned from speaking because my connection shit?
No, you can talk, but you just haven't talked.
I've been trying to be polite.
Oh, that's not that was a waste of time.
I'm worried my connection's garbage, and then I'm just going to cut out anyway.
Greeny, is this the thing that you saw? Are you watching the feed? Is this the thing that you saw on?
Let's have a look.
Wait,
I
for
am
the
in
feed
the feed.
To catch up.
Photo bucket. Are we talking about?
No. I've just posted a picture. That's not the thing that you're talking about, Greeny.
Well, the last sort of in the... Are we talking chat room or...?
No, you muppet. We're talking about on...
the video stream.
On the video stream. Hang on
a
second.
Oh, no, it's just doing that weird circle thing. It just keeps going round and round and round.
So all right, okay. So, well, don't stop it then, because that's otherwise that's going to... I'll put the link in the chat room. You can have a look at that. Is that the thing that you were talking about? If you're on the video, you've seen it anyway. Because that's not it. That's an arc from a book arc from 12 South. We've had some reviews anyway. Moving on with the podcast, otherwise we're not going to finish before midnight. thanks to you, all the people that have bothered to take the time to write a review. We do appreciate it. We're not telling you what to write. You write 1 star or 5 star. It's entirely your prerogative. The only thing that I do say is don't get personal, because you know that's not cool. Constructive criticism we'll take every time. When people have said, oh, the sound quality is not good, we've strived to improve it. When they said it's a bit quiet, we've strived to level it afterwards and improve that.
So, you know, when Adam's connection is shit,
we strive to get a better connection to Adam.
Thanks to Jackpot, he's the one that started off. Bring back Greeny. Ewan has lost the plot and clearly cannot be trusted.
Yes.
Aaron Magic Jones, who's in Japan. We've got a new thanks to Wheaters. We've got I want to say thank you to our backroom boys, because we've got three people that work behind the scenes at BTN doing all the stuff with the website and the code and all the cool stuff that's coming out. We've got some really cool stuff coming out. That's Andy Vaughan, who you've heard me mention before, Paul Shadwell as well, who helps us out with the servers and an awful lot of stuff in the backroom, and he's setting up a deal with a Swiss firm at the moment for us, and also especially Paul Wheatley, who is kind of like the admin for the whole lot of it and the allocator of activities and works and stuff like that, and he's doing a fantastic job, and he's done a thing for reviews for us that was like Commentcast, so you can actually just poll the iTunes and it shows them all, so thanks to him for doing that. And we found one in the Japanese store that we didn't even know about. Aaron Magic Jones, Jones Magic says, in the past year and a half, it's become a favourite Apple podcast, always fun and enjoyable to listen to and most entertaining. Thanks very much, mate. We've had one from D. Champlain in the US. It's a one-star review. If you like Leo's Mac Bash Weekly, you'll love this negative crap. Listen to another grumpy, childish podcast. You see, you're into name-calling, which is never good. Complain about a company and their products that actually gives this podcaster an audience. I love the fact that this guy thinks I've got nothing to talk about if Apple didn't make some products. And income. I make absolutely nothing out of this. It's like the audio version of Linkbait. You think you're going to hear enthusiasts talking about something they enjoy, but instead you hear the whining and profanity of someone who's got serious issues. Sad. Mate, look, if you'd have just said you didn't like it, I'd have been fine with that. But don't call me names, eh? And I love the fact that this guy goes into this huge lambasting of me, and I've done a little bit of research to find out who he is, and he's actually puts himself down as a devout Christian. Which, that's not a very Christian review, dude.
Welcome to the US.
Yeah. GunTotingChristian.com. Another one from...
Oh, I definitely think it's funny after I always get called fanboy for always sticking up for Apple, so I have no idea what he's talking about. At least he could have said, hey, at least that one guy is pretty on it.
It's a balanced podcast. They're both sides of the table.
There's a certain Mac user that is, you cannot say anything in any way, shape, or form slightly negative about... Yeah. Anything Apple does, and
he's one of those twats.
They'll go off.
There we go.
Yeah,
there we go. I called him a name. I do apologise. Gracie Beer says, of all the podcasts I listen to, this is my favourite. Plenty of humour and great conversation. The British Tech Network gets my vote every single time. And we've also found two from the Canadian store that we didn't know about. Thank you very much. 61 Redbug, the team from the British Tech Network give their take each week on the latest gadgets, rumours, etc. Check out all the various podcasts. I especially enjoy the Mac Show and the Big Show. And they've also put another review that says, as the No Agenda show podcast is to the news and politics, the podcast of the British Tech Network is to technology. Yes, you should always give the No Agenda show a listen. What I mean is, instead of regurgitating tech journalist blog posts, this team from the mother country pulls no punches to give their take each week on the latest gadgets, rumours. Yes, there is a second you want in that word, or anything else that they find busting their guts. Oh, and you should check out Coronation Street as well. It's pretty good, which it's not shit, so... I do have to disagree with that bit. Thank you very much. Anyone who's got a review, if you'd like to leave it in iTunes, we now have a facility to poll through the whole world and find those reviews, and we promise we will read them out on the show. It doesn't matter whether they're good or bad or not, and some of the more negative ones do offer a little bit more fun. That's to be said. Just don't get personal, all right? Don't call me names. I can cope with the negativity. Just don't call me names.
I did Coronation Street's intro.
Oh, well done, mate. Congratulations. It's really good.
It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty.
It's probably far better than the show, because the show's shit. He hit you in the mouth. Thanks to UK2 as well. UK2 is superb. They're supporting us wildly. They're absolutely brilliant. They give us all of the server space and all of the bandwidth that we currently use for the day-to-day things. If you'd like anything, go to britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link and all the offer codes are there, or you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and sign into your account, even just on a daily basis, get into your cPanel, that kind of thing. All of that you can do from our site, and it shows that you're a returning customer from BTN, and we get the kudos for it. They look after us. The 100 TB servers are helping us with the live streaming as well, so please check out them. One of the other cool things that the Backroom Boys have done this week is we now have the Not Quite Live channel. So you're sitting thinking, I know, I've got nothing to do this morning. You're drumming the pencil in the office. I'll put some on the earphones and I can listen to it while I'm doing my work. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/live, just the normal live page like we always do, when we're not broadcasting a show, if you click on play on that live channel, you will get a blast from the past. You will get a show at random scraped from another set of servers that we're setting up in Switzerland, thanks to Paul Shadwell, and they have a backup of all of our content. So one of the problems we've got with UK2 is we've got like 4 terabytes of stuff stored on their server, and they're kind of like, look, we love you guys, but we can't really back up 4 terabytes for you. So this firm in Switzerland have agreed to back up 4 terabytes of shows. And they're going to play them at random for us on the Not Quite Live channel. So thanks to the Backroom Boys for setting that up. It really is great. I caught the Nonsense Show, which from like 4 years ago, which was brilliant. I caught a Max Show from a couple of years ago, which was great fun as well. So check them out if you can, and go and have a watch of the Not Quite Live channel during the week when we're not broadcasting. You will enjoy it, I promise. And Anders has also done some little kind of test cards for the transitions between the shows. And we're going to put some fun messages and stuff in there periodically that you won't see anywhere else. They'll only be on the Not Quite Live stuff, and they'll come up at random. Is servers in Switzerland like Nazi gold? No. What the hell was that about? How to lose a sponsor before you've even got them. Jesus. Right. Have we got any cool things? Doctor, stick a link in the chat room and start us off, my boy.
Alrighty, let me get this real quick. Come on, make sure.
Nice to see you prepared.
The site is 716.com. Here comes the link. And there's textual.
I can edit, don't worry.
That didn't work.
Okay, so you can. I'll talk about the caricatures. Have you got a Len Peralta caricature? Because you can have one if you want one for yourself, just like the ones we've got on the Wall of Shame downstairs. You will go on the Wall of Shame yourself. The one you're looking at here is Dan Rodriguez. He's a guy who listens to the show, and he paid for his caricature. They're $100 from Len Peralta, and you get to have your own caricature on the sticker bomb background, and you also get a Twitter icon or social media icon that you can use yourself, square one, that'll fit on any of your social media stuff. And you get to go on the Wall of Shame, and the Wall of Shame is growing slowly. We've had another 3 on there at the moment. We've got Lyndon and Marty went on today, and Andrew went on as well. So thanks to those guys for their support and sponsorship. It's very, very much greatly received. But the Wall of Shame, if you want to come up and pay a pilgrimage to BTN Prime HQ, then you're always welcome to come and sit in on shows on a Thursday and Friday here. And you can look at yourself on the BTN Hall of Shame. There you go. So, Doc, have you done it yet or what?
Yes. So I got a pick and a public service enough. Okay, let me give you the pick real quick. So this is it. I hope this can focus. This is a watch band by a company called 716. And this was a Kickstarter. They were known as the Click. Wait, my wrist doesn't do that, but I'll force it. And basically what it is there's a little adapter in here that works perfectly with the watch that allows you to take any band you buy from the drugstore or the Macy's or the Selfridges or wherever you buy your things. And then you can put that adapter on, and it will make your Apple Watch work with any band. Okay? So, you want to switch back to my camera?
Yes, sir.
So, basically, it was a Kickstarter, and they started shipping this week. And then, so that's what the little adapter dude looks like. And then you can just basically throw any band on. So, I got this swanky leather one. I got the metal link bracelet from their site, and I got three sets of adapters, and all of it was like $40 on Kickstarter. I think they're a little bit more expensive now on the actual site, but well worth it. They're really, really sturdy. They're built well. These are aluminum, not the weird plastic kit that you buy from Amazon. And this leather band fits amazingly comfortable. Like, I thought it was kind of thick, which is good because, you know, leather does wear off pretty and break down, but this is amazingly well put together. So if you're looking for some better band swag but don't want to give Apple like a half a car payment, then check out the Get Click Bands, or just buy the adapters and then go to your regular department store and buy whatever the hell you're into, and just stick that on there. So it's kind of cool. It's an amazing
band. I did back that originally, and then I pulled out of it just before release, because I really liked the sports band and the fact that it didn't scratch on my laptop and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, you know, and I'm with you. I love my sports band. I have nothing wrong in my sports band. I just wanted to be able to switch up when I go out somewhere swanky.
Yeah.
Wanted to put on a swanky band. I thought about pulling out too because it was taking a long time. I'm kind of glad that they took their time and did it correctly. Because honestly, what happened, they developed this and they got snaked. And all of these people were writing them these yelling reviews and they're all pissed off about it in the chat. You know, I'm sorry, in the conversation thing on Kickstarter. And I'm like, bro, you back things because you want to see them come out, not because you expect to get whatever it is that you ordered. That's not how the backing works. That's not what it's not intended to be a pre-order thing. But unfortunately, that's what 90% of the people use it for. And then so I'm like, you know, it does take time. And I know for a fact these guys got snaked because their exact design, not even partial of their design, is all sellable on Amazon right now from about 90 different vendors. So these guys didn't know how to protect themselves when they got their product made. And just because of my experiences working with manufacturer in China, I know how exactly they got snaked. But it's to me, it's worth it. And I'm glad I stuck it out and waited long enough because it's great. The other one real quick. Just so I just think everybody should take some time. If you have a chance, go and watch this Code Girl movie. You probably got like one more day to watch it for free on YouTube. If not, you can go to the site. You can help them with their little cause. I am not a huge fan of all of this, you know, girl programming for girl programming's sake, just so we can say we have more girl programmers. This is not that. This is an initial put together by Google, and it's not just designed to pinkified developing, as our Kelly would say. There really is a nice movement behind this. It's a very touching story. You'll find yourself laughing, crying, happy, wanting to punch somebody, all kind of things. So
okay.
Really, really, really interesting movie. I'll say give it a check.
Good, Matt. Thank you. Mr. Christensen, do you have a cool thing?
I do, but of course my connection was great right until 2 minutes before you came to me, so hopefully you can hear me and hopefully this will hold up. If I need to kill my video, let me know.
Okay.
So gaming on the Apple TV, it was one of the things that we kind of just skimmed over, I think.
Yeah, kill your video, mate.
And you guys talked about the controllers and the issues with controllers. Yep, I'm killing it. See if that helps. I don't know. I'm getting tons of packet loss.
Yeah. Go on, you're fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go, okay. Good. Go for it.
So I am picking the SteelSeries Nimbus Remote for Apple TV, iPhone, iPad. I think gaming is way better on the Apple TV than I expected it to be. I'm having a blast playing like Asphalt 8 and all these other games. And a lot of them get a whole lot better when you have a dedicated gaming controller. And unlike the Apple Remote, this controller is $49.95 US.
Wow.
So it's going to cost you less than the Siri Remote to get the little gaming controller. And it's not great for every game. You know, a lot of the games like Crossy Road, you probably don't need it for. But if you're going to play a game like Transistor or something, this really turns the Apple TV into more of a console. And if you're a hardcore dedicated gamer, I don't think you know, the Apple TV is the thing for you. This is not going to replace someone's PlayStation or Xbox. But for a guy like me who plays games, you know, I had a Wii. I didn't even hook it up when I moved because I played it so infrequently. But this sort of brings that experience back, you know, of having a console thing when I want it once in a while, you know, once or twice a month.
But this is for all iOS-based platforms as well. So it's doing Apple TV 4 and it's doing phone, pad, etc. And it'll do Pad Pro, presumably, when that comes out as well, instantly.
Yeah, and it charges the funny thing is I picked it up and you know, I wanted to charge it. It didn't come with a charging cable and I just assumed it was going to have you know, micro USB. So I grabbed my micro USB and I try and jam it in the port and I'm like, oh, that's not working. Come to realize it uses Lightning.
Oh,
so you just
beautiful.
Use your Lightning cable to charge it, you know, just like you would your Apple TV remote. So
40 hours of battery life as well. So that's perfect for mobile, sitting on a train or a plane or something like that as well.
And it has a menu button. So all the controls on the Apple TV work with it if you want to use it as an Apple TV remote. You know, the D-pad and the analog stick will, you know, move you around the interface. And the quality is just really good. It's got a nice weight to it. It is solidly built. It is a good piece of technology.
So cheap in comparison. They're available to buy now.
Yep. You can get it in the Apple Store. That's where I picked mine up.
All right. Okay.
But so I think Amazon and every place else.
Brilliant. Good pick, Matt. Like that a lot. Like that very much. Greeny, do you have a cool thing for us?
Well, I sort of do.
Oh, go on then. Stick us a link in the chat room.
It's slightly sensitive.
Oh, dear.
With a German gentleman being on the panel. So please forgive me. This is no way a personal insult or anything like that. So do you forgive me before I begin?
Put a link in the chat room and then I'll forgive you.
It's so I'm redoing. So the British Mac website was all based around the Victorian period, like steampunk. But I'm redoing it and making it. I thought, sort of, what period shall I choose? And I thought the 1940s would be quite good. And like anything, you look for sort of inspiration and to. So the concept for the new website is, it was a place called Goode Street that my stepfather spent a lot of the war in the tube station. And I wanted to put that in there as an entrance. And I wanted each of the links to be, you know, those propaganda type posters from the 40s. I wanted each of the links to be one of those. And that's what I'm doing. And then you sort of explore Goode Street and all that. So it's in no way a celebration of war, because it's a pretty bloody awful thing. But I'm trying to sort of recreate that vibe, that sort of back in the day vibe for the 40s.
Okay, so what, are you picking your own podcast again?
No.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm picking an application. So to help me with this.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
Yeah, all right, calm me down. is an application that's available on the App Store called World War II Posters. Now, it's mainly American. There's probably a dozen British ones, and there isn't any German ones, I'm afraid, which is a shame, because I'd like to have seen the way that the Germans delivered their sort of propaganda. So I'm basically using this application. It was only about a quid or 2 quid. It's called World War II Posters, and
£2.29.
Is it okay? So it's really good. It's really good. It gives you high definition posters, and even if you're not interested in design or need anything like this, it's quite interesting to go through and see how both the British and the Americans sort of try to bolster morale. So
yeah,
there it is.
Going back to the thing with insulting Germany, the one thing
I didn't insult. No,
you were being sensitive there. No, it's all right. But the thing I always said to Ellis was, because he did the Second World War at school, and he said, so the Germans did this. I said, you got to be careful, mate, because it wasn't the Germans, it was the Nazis. And the Nazis were a bit of a different edge to them than just calling it the Germans. The people that we know as Germans now are not Nazis, mate. That's not it.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, oh, okay, I get that. Which is true.
Do they teach that in school? Is that why they say it?
They do Second World War, but they don't separate. Ellis didn't have a clear understanding in his mind about what the Nazi party was compared to what Germany was.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do the same thing here in OS, and it depends on the teachers. But yeah, a lot of them just like group the whole thing together, and it's like, nah, it's not really that. And we have the same thing here. You know, going to African-American schools, they talk about slave owners and all this other stuff, and then everybody starts getting all angry, and then we're like, yo, pump your brakes. There was like more than 80% of the country was against slavery. They just didn't have the money to fight it. So don't just go automatically getting mad and go beat up the next white kid you find. It wasn't his fault. Yeah. You know, it was literally just a handful of douchebags with money that kind of ran the show for a bit. And it turns out we're still doing that. but yeah, you know, it always interesting how easy it is to like blank people in until someone gives the full story.
Which brings us to the Kraut's turn. Sorry.
I'm gonna pick something we already talked about in the beginning of the show. I'm gonna pick the Plex app for the Apple TV. As you know, I did the review, and I wanted to pick it because it really was my favorite thing this week. I've been waiting for this app for quite a while, because, I mean, on the old Apple TV, it was hard to get Plex on, and it stopped working because, I mean, Apple updated the software. So I was really waiting for it because I'm a huge Plex nerd. I use it. I have my own server for it, all of that. And the new app is really awesome. It has some issues and they know about it. It's a 1.0 version again, or two, but, it looks very nice. They dropped the old, black and orange, UI they have with everything else. They did a more Apple TV-like UI. The movie screen really is really, really good. You see the Rotten Tomato rating. You see the director, the cast. You can see extras if they are available somewhere. I don't know what the source for that is, but I can see a lot of extras for movies. And overall, it's quick. It gets the job done. On the home screen of the Apple TV, there's this area called the shelf, where if you select an app, you can see basically a preview or something, like in the App Store, the banners on the top. And on the shelf for Plex, it will show you, I think, well, at least for me right now, it's showing the movies I didn't finish or the next one, next TV show I could watch, something that's on deck. So it's really solid and it's fast. So the only complaint I have is that I have to reload the home screen every time I've watched something because it doesn't update. But I think they are gonna fix that.
Yeah, I think I think Plex is one of those things that the Greeny, you know, was right 6 years ago, 4 years ago. It was a horrific experience, but it's not been like that for a while now. And I think certainly one of the things I'm going to do for my home sharing is definitely install Plex on the new Apple TV. It's going to be a must-have.
It's nice. My only reason I stopped using Plex and probably won't use it is I buy so much of my content in iTunes and I just don't want to deal with, and I know you can convert it, but I just don't want to deal with that because it's just easier since I have everything in iTunes along with my iTunes content. But if you're not in that world, if you've ripped everything from Blu-ray and stuff like that, Plex on the Apple TV is, it rocks. Just one more thing, because this was commented on earlier, I think, with respect to, you know, some of the things that Apple TV missed. Well, like, why doesn't, just like Plex, why can't it show me all the stuff that I'm currently watching? So if I'm watching a series in Netflix and another one in HBO Now, and I'm halfway through a movie in iTunes, there should be a place in the main interface that just says, here's the stuff that you've been watching, you want to pick up, you know, where you left off, regardless of where I started it. So hopefully they'll do that at some point. But Plex, you know, has that kind of functionality, like you were saying with the shelf kind of thing.
Yep.
Somebody gave me a bag.
Go on.
And inside of it was a big pile of shit.
Are you just about to out yourself as somebody who hasn't moved on with the times here, Greeny? Just be careful, eh?
And on the front of that big pack of shit was the word Plex. It's rubbish. It's terrible.
No, it's really good.
When was
really
the last time you used it? Give me a date, please.
Well, it's...
No, answer the question, Greeny. Don't answer the question. When was the last time you used it?
It has been a little while.
Yes, it's four to 6 years.
Well, I bet it's no better, is it?
It is way better.
It's...
It used to be a piece of crap, and about 3 years ago, it got epic, and it's just the best experience of all of this watching ever right now is Plex.
The last time Greeny used Plex, it ran under fucking Panther.
The point, okay, a question. I've got two questions. One has nothing to do with anything, but the first question is... Is it still a complete nightmare to uninstall?
No, because it's an app.
Easy to uninstall.
On the TV.
Well, that's a client. He's probably talking about the server, but even the server is easy to uninstall.
It's easy to uninstall.
I've done
it. Easy to... You can guarantee me that, can you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
We need to bring it up. You need to come over and do the Mac show at this studio one day, and we'll install Plex app on here and see how we go.
And then uninstall it.
Super simple.
Mm-hmm. And then straight away uninstall it, yeah.
Yeah, it's come so far in the last couple of years that it's kind of incredible. on the iPad now, right before you get on the plane, we used to scurry to find things to download to put on your iPad. And all you do is you plus sync the things you want to sync from your library, and then you go and you start packing your shaving kit. By the time you come back, all the stuff you want to take on the plane is on the plane, ready to go. Pre-converted, pre-transcoded, and actually smaller than anything you get from Apple, but the quality is the same. You can't touch Plex with a stick. It's off.
Exactly. So Boo in the chat room is saying, I'm being unfair to try and tie you down to a date. I should just ask you the nearest century that you last used it.
Well, you can touch it with a shitty stick.
No. Look, let's move on. We're going to go off air in a minute on Alpha Geek. We've only got 10 minutes left.
Hold on. One last question.
Oh, go on.
You got to let Ewan have his pick.
No, go on, Green. You can have his question.
It's only a small one. So I've got an iPad 2 that has died overnight, and I've looked everywhere to sort of resurrect it. It's my kid's iPad. Anybody got any ideas?
I've got an iPad 3 that I found down the back of the sofa. Come over and get it. It's yours.
Okay. That's a good solution.
Tell Marwood that Uncle Santa Ewan said this.
I will. He wants a bloody Windows laptop.
But Vic's going to have to come and sit on my knee and have a rummage in his sack to get it out.
Cool thing. Oh, by the way, there's Econ said that's a terrible joke when I did the transfer to what's it? He's got his politically correct on instead of the Ewan's not serious head. Jesus Christ, people are too literal these days. My cool thing.
I think that was in reference to the Plex joke that Mullerbike made in the chat room.
Was it? Oh, okay, fair enough. What the hell's going on here? I can't get for some reason. Oh, why? That's stuck. Why is that stuck? Oh, that's not working. Never mind. My pick is not Greeny's pick. My pick is Clean My Mac 3. It's new out in the last couple of weeks from Macport, and they sent me an upgrade because I have a site license for 5 machines here. And I got to say, it's pretty good. It does all the stuff that Clean My Mac 2 does, and I have it on authority that in 2 weeks' time, there's something really cool coming out for everyone that's got it. So one thing I would say is hold fire if you're not on the upgrade path at the moment, because in 2 weeks' time, MacPoor, I think, are going to do a giveaway with this. We'll have to check that out. And there's a special feature that's taking place in 2 weeks' time as well as. So upgrade to Mac to Clean My Mac 3 if you possibly can in 2 weeks, when you might have a little bit of an incentive to do it.
That's good stuff. I like that. The only thing that I don't like is, you can turn it off, but you know, the little notification thing, like every time you try and throw stuff away in the trash.
Yeah, the trash one can get a bit intrusive, but actually, I mean, there's time it's done that and it's gone. Do you realize there's 300 gig in your trash? No,
I don't. I'm not that type of person. So yeah. I guess it's good for certain users. But overall, that stuff will save you tons of storage space and clean up a bunch of stuff.
I got 40 terabytes of Thunderbolt drive, so.
Yeah.
Backing everything up. So when I chuck it away on one drive and chuck it away on another drive, it's double the amount. So
unlike that other thing that, you know, tried to trick everybody into installing it and was crap shovelware.
Hey, okay. You know, here's one for Greeny. The best thing about Clean My Mac 3, right? When you go to uninstall something that's being a bitch,
like Plex,
you open up Clean My Mac 3 and you uninstall it with Clean My Mac 3 and it will go out and grab everything necessary for it.
Does all the hidden files, everything.
And it does it all for you. So like, I've been on it since the original version, and Philip and the crew over there are just amazing, and three is slick.
It's not. I've only had it for a week now, and it's just superb. Well worth the upgrade. And I say I've got five site licenses for the machines that I use here, so it's well worth the money. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
On the BTN network, and maybe I'm going to go jump on the British Mac podcast and make trouble with Greeny. Anywhere, all over.
You might have a bit of trouble with
interwebs.
Scheduling this.
Under the interwebs, under DOCROCK.
Doc, you're very welcome. If you want to come along, be great.
Have a seance with Greeny. Hold on to Greeny. Jeez.
Somewhere in 2025.
I got to go across the street to the beach and take a picture of me arse.
Adam, where are you, sir?
I am over at MacCast at MacCast.com and MacCast on iTunes. And then I also do the iOS show at theiosshow.com with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston. So people can check that out.
Excellent. Greeny, where will you be, sir?
The website, www.britishmac.com. The latest British Mac came out last Sunday. It's 148, I think, or 149. I can't quite remember. And you can follow me on Twitter, which is British Mac as well.
Excellent, mate. Is there a British Mac coming out this week?
No, it's I've decided to sort of set a realistic time frame. That's going to be every other Sunday.
I thought you were going to say 2019 then, sorry.
Every 6 months.
Every 6 months. Yeah, no, no. Yeah, no, I think every other Sunday is about right, because Sunday's a day off, obviously, and so I can come.
Okay, mate, well done. And Patrice, where are you, sir?
You're right here on the British Tech Network every Friday, on Twitter at casual_kitchen, and all the links and stuff on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. We will be back next Friday as normal. Big show on Thursday, Mac show on Friday. Gamer show's just gone this Monday, so there's no gamer show this week. It's the following week, but we'll advertise that then. Pocket show should be coming back soon. I keep saying it, I know, but it is going to come back at some point. Don't forget, Wednesday at 11 o'clock, it's a very special day. Wherever you are, stand up, shut up, and give thanks for the fact that you're allowed to do that. Thanks for listening.
It says the pocket show's on Monday, right there.
You could shut up just for that bit, because that's a really kind of cool bit, you know? Jesus Christ, Patrice.
Nope.
Well, he's German, isn't he?
Whoa! I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't going to say it.
Oh, God.
Thanks, fellas.
God.
Oh. Crazy, you f***ing idiot.